Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're jumping into the work of someone who, well, completely reshaped how we think about economics and government, John Maynard Keynes.
Absolutely. His ideas, his intellectual shadow, it looms large over pretty much every major economic decision made today, doesn't it? Bailouts, stimulus.
Exactly. And we're using Robert Sigelsky's definitive biography as our guide. We really want to understand how Keynes managed to shift global policy so fundamentally.
And it's crucial stuff. Sigelsky doesn't just paint him as, you know, as some numbers guy. He shows Keynes as this, well, almost revolutionary figure, a political and moral thinker.
Offering a middle way, right?
Precisely.
Yeah.
A path between, let's say, totally uncontrolled capitalism, the boom and bust cycle that caused so much misery, and full-on state socialism. He was trying to save liberal democracy, really.
So our mission today, to unpack that, we want you, the listener, to get the core ideas fast. Understand how his thinking helped tackle the Great Depression and why tools like government spending are still so relevant for today's problems. You know, instability, inequality.
It's the bedrock of the modern economic system we live in. So, yeah, let's dig in.
Right. To really get the weight of Keynes' ideas, we need to talk about our source first. Robert Sigelsky.
Sigelsky. He's the authority, isn't he? Wrote that absolutely massive three-volume biography. You really can't get more thorough.
Definitely. But it's not just the academic side, is it? You mentioned he has practical experience, too.
Exactly. He's an emeritus professor, yes, super rigorous academically. But he was also in the House of Lords. He understands how these big ideas actually translate or don't translate into real-world policy. He bridges that gap.
That perspective seems key. Yeah. He sees Keynes not just as a theorist, but as someone driven by, well, almost a moral purpose.
That's Sigelsky's big point. Economics for Keynes wasn't an end in itself. It was a tool. A tool for achieving human welfare, social stability, you know, a decent society.
And Sigelsky frames Keynes' work as a direct response to crisis, right? The Great Depression, the World Wars.
Absolutely. Classical economics, the stuff that everyone believed before Keynes, it just had no answers for the catastrophe of the 1930s. Mass unemployment, despair. The general theory, Keynes' major work, wasn't just some academic exercise. It was like an emergency response, trying to build a lifeline.
Okay, so let's turn to the book itself. Sigelsky's goal here.
Well, two things, really. First, make these pretty complex economic ideas understandable for, you know, a wider audience.
Mm-hmm.
And second, maybe more importantly, rescue Keynes from the oversimplified versions you hear kicked around.
Like just saying Keynesian spending without getting the why behind it.
Exactly. People use the term, but miss the deeper philosophy. Sigelsky wants to fix that. And his central argument, Keynes had to revolutionize economics because capitalism had this massive flaw. Its total inability to handle what Keynes called radical uncertainty.
Uncertainty again, that seems critical. The old view assumed rationality, didn't it? Like, people make economic choices based on perfect information, or at least calculable odds.
Yeah, risk you can calculate, like rolling dice. But Keynes said, hold on, the real world, especially the future, isn't like that. It's fundamentally uncertain. You can't possibly know the probability of major innovations or wars or shifts in taste decades from now.
And if the future is that murky,
then the whole idea of a perfectly self-correcting market falls apart. Businesses won't invest if they can't see the way forward. People hoard cash. The economy stalls. And that's why, for Keynes, the state had to have a role.
But not to take over everything. It wasn't about ditching capitalism.
No, not at all. That's the middle way again. The goal was to preserve liberal capitalism. The state just needed to act as a sort of a balancing wheel.
How does that work?
Its job is basically to step in and manage overall spending, what economists call aggregate demand, to keep employment high enough. It stabilizes the system, smooths out the roughest edges, the booms and busts, so that private businesses and individuals can still thrive. It's about managing the overall climate, not dictating every move.
Let's get deeper into that intellectual shift. You mentioned risk versus uncertainty. Risk is like the casino, you know, the odds.
Right. But uncertainty, that's the real world of long-term investment. Think about building a factory. Will people want your product in 10, 20 years? What new technology might disrupt it? What about politics? You just can't put neat probabilities on those things.
So if it's not rational calculation driving those big decisions, what is it?
That's where Keynes brings in that fantastic term, animal spirits.
Ah, yes, I love that phrase.
It captures it perfectly, doesn't it? Mm. Investment, the engine of job creation, isn't driven by spreadsheets alone. It's driven by confidence, by waves of optimism or pessimism, gut feeling almost.
And when those animal spirits take a dive, when everyone gets scared,
the private sector just freezes up. Businesses stop investing, stop hiring. They just sit on their money because the future looks too uncertain, too scary.
And this directly challenged the ruling idea of the time, didn't it? The classical orthodoxy.
Oh, completely. He went right after their core belief, Say's Law.
Which is basically supply creates its own demand.
Yeah, the idea that just producing goods automatically creates the income needed to buy those goods. So in theory, you could never have a situation where there's just not enough demand overall. No general gluts, no lasting mass unemployment. The market would always, always find its way back to equilibrium, back to full employment.
Must have sounded comforting.
It was. But the Great Depression just blew that theory out of the water. Millions were unemployed for years. The market clearly wasn't self-correcting.
So Keynes flipped it.
Completely flipped it. In the general theory, he argued, no, it's demand that creates supply. The total amount of stuff produced, the total number of jobs, it all depends on the total level of spending in the economy. Aggregate demand.
And that's made up of consumption, investment, and government spending, right? C plus I plus G.
Exactly. And while consumption is usually fairly stable, investment I, that's the wild card. That's the bit driven by those shaky animal spirits.
So when investment tanks, because everyone's pessimistic,
aggregate demand collapses.
Yeah.
And that's the logic for government spending, G, to step in and fill that hole. Which leads us to another brilliant, counterintuitive idea, the paradox of thrift.
Right. This one always messes with my head, because my instinct, if things look bad, is definitely to save more, spend less.
And that's perfectly rational for you as an individual. But think about it. If everyone does that at the same time,
total spending just plummets.
Precisely. Businesses lose customers, so they fire workers, which means people have even less income, so they spend even less.
Oh, it's a downward.
It's a downward spiral. And here's the paradox. Because overall income has shrunk so much, the total amount saved in the economy might actually fall, even though everyone tried to save more. Individual virtue becomes collective disaster.
Wow. Okay. So that's why the government needs to do the opposite spend when everyone else is saving. And the tool they use is the multiplier effect.
Yes, the multiplier is key. The basic idea is that government spending has an amplified impact. If the government spends, say, $100 million on a new road project,
that money goes to workers, to suppliers.
Right. And what do those workers and suppliers do? They spend a good chunk of that new income on groceries, clothes, maybe a car.
Which then becomes income for the grocer, the shop owner, the car dealer.
Exactly. And they spend some of their new income and so on. So that initial $100 million injection of government spending ripples through the economy, generating more than $100 million in total economic activity.
So the government action sort of kickstarts things again, and the impact is bigger than the initial spend.
That's the idea. It makes government intervention seem much more powerful and less costly in a way than just looking at the initial price tag. It pushes back against the idea that austerity is always the right answer in a downturn.
Okay, let's pull back a bit and talk about the big themes Skidelsky emphasizes. The first one seems to be that core idea of uncertainty.
Absolutely central. If you really absorb that, it changes everything. Economics isn't just about neat models predicting the future. Genuine, unquantifiable uncertainty is baked into the system. It suggests we need a bit more humility, maybe. Avoid that herd mentality Keynes saw was driven by psychology, not just facts.
Makes sense. The second theme feels very different, the social purpose of economics.
Yes. This is the moral dimension Skidelsky highlights. Keynes wasn't just optimizing an equation. He saw economics as a tool to build a better, more stable, more civilized society. He called mass unemployment a colossal evil. So for him, policy shouldn't just be judged on abstract principles, like balancing the budget no matter what.
It should be judged on its real-world impact.
On people's lives.
Exactly. On social cohesion, on living standards, does it help people lead better lives? That was the ultimate test for Keynes. And the third theme addresses that big worry about government overreach. The state as stabilizer, not planner. You mentioned socialization of investment earlier, which sounds pretty socialist.
It does sound alarming, doesn't it? But Skidelsky is really clear here. Keynes was fundamentally a liberal. He believed in individual freedom, private property, market dynamism. Socialization of investment didn't mean the state owning factories.
What did it mean then?
It meant the state managing the overall level of investment in the economy, using things like interest rates and public spending just enough to keep aggregate demand high enough for full employment. It's about setting the background conditions, being the umpire, not controlling every player on the field.
Okay, that distinction is crucial. It's about ensuring the game can continue, not dictating the score.
Perfectly put.
Keyes wasn't just brilliant, he was also quotable. Skidelsky includes some zingers that really capture his thinking.
Oh, definitely. They pack a punch. The most famous has to be, "In the long run, we are all dead."
Classic. It sounds a bit morbid, but it's really a critique, isn't it?
It is. It's pushing back against economists who'd say, "Oh, don't worry about this depression. The market will eventually sort itself out." In the long run, Keynes is saying, "People are suffering now. Policy needs to act now. The long run is too late."
Then there's the difficulty lies not so much in developing new ideas as in escaping from old ones.
That really speaks to the challenge he faced, right? Getting people to let go of deeply ingrained beliefs like Say's Law, even when reality was screaming otherwise. Old habits, old theories, they die hard.
And my personal favorite, because it feels so true today, practical men who believe themselves to be quite exempt from any intellectual influences are usually the slaves of some defunct economist.
Oh, yes. That's brilliant. It reminds us that everyone operates based on some underlying theory or assumption about how the world works, even if they don't realize it. Often it's an outdated one. It's a great argument for why understanding economic ideas actually matters for everyone.
So, thinking about today, where do we see these ideas in action? Real-life applications.
Well, look at the major crises of the last couple of decades.
Yeah.
The 2008 financial crash, the COVID pandemic.
Huge government interventions, stimulus packages, furlough schemes.
Textbook Keynesian response, really. Private demand collapsed. People stopped spending. Businesses stopped investing. So the government stepped in with massive spending, the G and C plus I plus G, to prop up aggregate demand and prevent an even worse depression. They were explicitly using the multiplier logic.
And for us, just listening to the news, understanding Keynes helps cut through the noise.
Absolutely. It helps you question those rigid statements like the government must always balance its budget. Keynes gives you the framework to ask, well, when? During a boom? Maybe yes. During a deep recession? Probably not. It empowers you to think critically about policy choices.
It encourages businesses, too, maybe, not to panic and slash investment at the first sign of trouble, understanding the bigger picture.
Ideally, yes. Understanding that maintaining employment and investment helps stabilize the whole system benefits everyone in the long run. It fosters a more informed, less dogmatic discussion.
So, wrapping up, what's the one thing that really struck you from revisiting Keynes through Skidelsky's eyes?
For me, it's reinforcing that moral dimension. How fundamentally Keynes' goal wasn't just about economic efficiency, but about creating the conditions for a good society. Stable, just, civilized, where people aren't constantly terrified of losing their livelihoods. Economics in service of humanity.
Yeah, I agree. That really comes through. The insight that sticks with me is just how relevant it all still feels. The problems he tackled, instability, unemployment, the scary power of uncertainty, they haven't gone away.
Not at all. If anything, they seem more pressing.
Which means his toolkit, his way of thinking about managing capitalism's flaws, remains incredibly valuable. We still need that intelligent foresight he advocated for.
Definitely. It's not about predicting the future perfectly, but about having the wisdom and the tools to navigate the uncertainty when it hits.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.